Good morning again. I'm going to be talking to you today about Memorial Day. And my reference is, I did some research and I borrowed some information from a man named Darren Fish, another named Chris Beam, and the Encyclopedia Britannica. Memorial Day is a time each year when we pause to remember those who laid their lives down for family, friends, and freedom. 1 week after Pearl Harbor was attacked, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, quote, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them," end quote. Freedom is never really free. It's always bought with the blood of patriots. I'm going to give you a little history about Memorial Day. 3 years after the Civil War ended, on May 5, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, or GAR, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared that Decoration Day should be observed on May 30th. It's believed that that date was chosen because at that time of the year, the flowers would be in bloom all over the country. The first large observance was held that year in Arlington Memorial Cemetery across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. After many speeches, children from the Soldiers and Sailors Orphan Home and members of the GAR made their way through the cemetery, strewing flowers on both Union and Confederate graves, reciting prayers, and singing hymns. By the end of the 19th century, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held on May 30th throughout the nation. It was not until after World War I, however, that the day was expanded to honor those who have died in all American-fought wars. In 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress, though it is still often called Decoration Day. It was then also placed on the last Monday of May. General Logan's order for his posts to decorate graves in 1868 with the choicest flowers of springtime urged, quote, "We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the coming generations that we have forgotten, as a people, the cost of a free and undivided republic." The crowd attending the first Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery was approximately the same size as those attended today, about 5,000 people. Then, as now, small American flags were placed on each grave, a tradition followed at many national cemeteries today. In recent years, the custom has grown in many families to decorate the graves of all departed loved ones. To ensure the sacrifices of America's fallen heroes are never forgotten, in December of 2000, the U.S. Congress passed and the President signed into law the National Moment of Remembrance Act, creating the White House Commission on the National Moment of Remembrance. The Commission's charter is to encourage the people of the United States to give something back to their country, which provides them so much freedom and opportunity. The National Moment of Remembrance encourages all Americans to pause wherever they are at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence to remember those and honor those that have died in service to the nation. As Moment of Remembrance founder Carmela LaSpada states, quote, "It's a way that we can help keep the memorial in Memorial Day," end quote. Tomorrow, we will celebrate Memorial Day. Many people see it as just a day off, a three-day weekend, or a reason to cook out and have friends over. But for those who have lost someone because of war or military action, it means much more than a day off. In fact, every American ought to recognize this day and honor those who gave their lives to make America what it is today, free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. Because men have died for our country, we have the right to preach God's word freely. We have the right to live at peace in our own homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. We need to thank God for those who died to make us free. So on Memorial Day, we should mourn the loss. We should remember the lives and be thankful for the sacrifice and service. As we prepare today to remember those who died for our country, it is equally important that we remember the one who died to set us free from our sins. Jesus fought the armies of hell so that we might have liberty in his name. Every week is a celebration of the memorial of Christ. Every Sunday is a memorial day for the Christian as we partake in communion. In light of Christ's battles, let's take a closer look at our memorial of him as we recognize the likeness of our celebration of our military. We should mourn the loss. Matthew 18:12-14 says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go and look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." As we mourn the loss of Christ, we realize that we are the guilty ones, and know that if there had been only one sinner who was lost, he still would have died. His love is that great. We should remember the lives. Luke 24:13-25 says, "Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem that you do not know the things that have happened in these last days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken.'" These men were definitely grieving over the loss of Jesus. Part of our emotional healing in the process of grief is to remember the lives of the ones loved one that has passed. The headstones we put on the graves are a testimony of those who those people were. Here's some examples of some epitaphs you might find on gravestones. "Gone too soon." or Dear Parents, though we miss you so much, we know that you rest with God. Or Safe in the arms of Jesus, faithful unto death, gone but not forgotten. Another one, Go Spirit, go thy way, at rest, asleep in Jesus. The last one I have is, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Life's work well done, she rests in peace. All of these messages tell us a little about the one who is buried under that headstone. So what must we remember about Jesus? The answer is that he would like us to remember how he lived and what he taught through his life. He set an example of how to live in love, and our lives should reflect that love. We should be thankful for the sacrifice and service. In 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, we read, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As Christians, we cannot take light of this memorial feast. We do this in remembrance of him. We're all well aware of Christ's sacrifice, but there's a story of another true sacrifice that I want to share with you. It was a few weeks before Christmas in 1917. The beautiful snowy landscapes of Europe were blackened by war. The trenches on one side held the Germans, and on the other side the trenches were filled with Americans. It was World War I. The exchange of gunshots was intense. Separating them was a very narrow strip of land called No Man's Land. A young German soldier attempting to cross No Man's Land had been shot and had been entangled in the barbed wire. He cried out in anguish, and then in pain, he continued to scream and whimper. Between the shells, all the Americans in that sector could hear him scream. When one American soldier could stand it no longer, he crawled to that German soldier. When the Americans realized what he was doing, they stopped firing. But the Germans continued until a German officer realized what the young American was doing, and he ordered his men to cease firing. Now there was a weird silence across No Man's Land. On his stomach, the American made his way to that German soldier and disentangled him. He stood up with the German in his arms, walked straight to the German trenches, and placed him in the waiting arms of his comrades. Having done so, he turned and started back to the American trenches. Suddenly, there was a hand on his shoulder that spun him around. There stood a German officer who had won the Iron Cross, the highest German honor for bravery. He jerked it from his own uniform and placed it on the American, who walked back to the American trenches. Only when he was safely in the trenches did they resume the insanity of war. That German soldier was thankful for the American soldier's sacrifice. So every time we partake of communion, we should mourn the loss, remember the life, and be thankful for the sacrifice. Those who think that America is an arrogant nation should really reconsider that thought. Our founding fathers used God's word and teachings to establish our great nation. And I think it's high time Americans get re-educated about this nation's history. We should be proud of the country we live in, even more proud of those who serve to protect our God-given rights and freedoms. I think one of the saddest things to see is a flag-draped coffin of a man or a woman who has sacrificed their life for our country. We see it in the military, and we see it when a police officer dies in the line of duty. Rob Amsden wrote the following description of the folding of the flag, like this one that was awarded to my family when my father-in-law died. Here's how to understand the flag that is laid upon their coffins and is folded up and surrendered to so many widows and widowers. Have you ever noticed that the honor guard pays meticulous attention to correctly folding the American flag 13 times? I used to think it symbolized the original 13 colonies, but we learn something new every day, don't we? The first fold of the flag is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of the belief in eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veterans departing the ranks who gave a portion of their lives for the defense of the country to attain peace throughout the world. The fourth fold represents the weaker nature. For as American citizens trusting in God, it is to Him we turn in times of peace as well as in time of war for His divine guidance. The fifth fold is a tribute to the country, for in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country in dealing with other countries may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. The sixth fold is for where people's hearts lie. It is with their heart that they pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The seventh fold is a tribute to the armed forces, for it is through the armed forces that they protect our country and their flag against all her enemies, whether they be found within or without the boundaries of their republic. The eighth fold is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we might see the light of day. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood and mothers, for it has been through their faith and their love, loyalty and devotion, that the character of the men and women who have made this country great have been molded. The tenth fold is a tribute to the father, for he too has given his sons and daughters for the defense of their country since they were first born. The 11th fold represents the lower portion of the seal of King David and King Solomon and glorifies, in the Hebrews' eyes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12th fold represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies, in the Christians' eyes, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The 13th fold, or when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding them of their nation's motto, In God We Trust. After the flag is completely folded and tucked in, it takes on the appearance of a cocked hat, ever reminding us of the soldiers who served under General George Washington and the sailors and Marines who served under Captain John Paul Jones, who were followed by their comrades and shipmates in the armed forces of the United States, preserving for them the rights, privileges, and freedoms they enjoy today. There are some traditions and ways of doing things that have deep meaning. In the future, you'll see flags folded, and now you'll know why. All the heroic acts done on the battlefield throughout history have made our country what it is today. We are free, we are wealthy, and we are respected around the world. The biggest battle we as Americans are facing today is the battle for the very soul of our nation. We see it all around us every day. The erosion of our society has been a slow process, but we've seen it accelerate rapidly in just the past few years. It really doesn't matter whether there's a Democrat or a Republican sitting in the Oval Office. This nation that we've all come to know and love continues to erode. The position we're in today is because of what we tolerated yesterday, and the position we'll be in tomorrow because of what we tolerate today. I'm proud to be an American and have the luxuries of this country because men have died to give me what I have. I'm also proud to be a Christian and enjoy the salvation that came with the price Jesus paid through his sacrifice. For these things, we must all be truly thankful.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.